love this part. This is my favorite part. Fantasize with me for a moment as we go out there, way out there, into the future. Welcome to Itopia. You are the most successful and visionary CIO in your industry. You are the vanguard, blazing trails and opening up new pathways for the business. Once in a while, you get a call from one of your business partners, this time the head of worldwide marketing. He's looking for advice on a new go-to strategy for a market that he's opening up, and he asks for your participation in the initial concept meetings with the agency. Now, you are confident that you're going to add value and be a key player in the meeting because you are up to speed with the latest application of consumer technologies within your industry. So you beam in one of your top IT professionals, a deep breather in the marketing space, and a highly credible partner of the business. Did I mention that he's an employee of yours and not an outside consultant? He helped out for a while, but then disappears because your business partner is more than able to handle the bulk of the program from this point forward without a lot of IT people propping him up. As you hover in your flying car, you watch as business partners are getting off exits labeled with tangible value. And as each exit goes by, the road gets nicer and nicer. The highway tolls are actually going down, and the better road is allowing for more cars with less congestion. You turn around and see a big guy in your back seat, name lights on, and you give him a smile. And without asking, your business partners drop money off from time to time in the back seat to feed him. But best of all, once in a while, your business partners present you with the keys to a newer, nicer car. Now, perhaps this is a fanciful view of 2015, but this is a world that I would like to help the next generation of leaders create. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to challenge the current IT operating model with a few assumptions for 2015 and beyond. Now, by 2015, organizations will recognize IT and will manage IT as an enterprise asset and not simply as an IT organization. IT will transition from being the sole provider of the asset to enabling the IT capabilities of everybody in the enterprise. Now, you may say to me, Susan, please, every time we give any control away to the business, they mess things up and we have to come and fix it. But this isn't the same thing. This isn't about an organization structure or giving up and not having any more rules. This is about assimilating IT into the very fabric of the business. Over the next 10 years, we will see a new operating model emerge that will transition us from controlling and trying to control IT to setting policies, and policies that people actually follow. From servicing and addressing individual service requests to advising and advocating for the needs of others, for providing point solutions, to providing tools and infrastructure that allow people to develop those solutions on their own, and from managing a fixed asset, fixed cost, this utility, to managing more of an on-demand, variable services. Now, of course, to move down this model, we need to have best-in-class IT services. Because without the incredible on a day-to-day basis, we can't even get the conversation started. So let's see where we are today, and let's talk about how to move forward. Itopia is in the distance, but it's clearly in sight. There is a big, ugly road in between where we are today and where we'd like to be. This road is clogged with cars, and these cars represent projects. And more are trying to get on the road than are able to get off. Your IT folks are the only one in the company who know how to drive these cars. And they know that it's not safe to drive alone, so they ask business partners to join them for the ride. The business partners reluctantly agree and spend the entire trip vacillating between trying to take over the wheel and trying to jump out of the car. About 30% of the time, the cars, these privates, reach their destination. The rest of the time, the trip takes too long, costs too much, or ends up in the wrong place. In every car, there's a big lights-on guy taking up about 75% of the back seat. And he's big, and he's haired, and he smells bad. He's constantly taking more than his share, and he's edging out the business partners in the back seat. Every year or so, the CFO sees how big Lightson is getting and demands that he goes on a diet. Everybody agrees that they're going to lower Lightson costs, but any reductions are temporary at best. May you sympathize with the frustrations of your business partners and arrange for some prioritization rest stops. At the rest stops, everybody gets out of the car, jostles for a new place in line, and tries to get a better seat. Since there's no clear rhyme or reason for everyone's place in line, each rest stop takes a long, long time, and it leaves everybody feeling that prioritization and governance is a big waste of time. Now, unfortunately, some of your business partners are left on the side of the road. They don't even fit in a car, in any car. And so they jump on whatever they can, their horses, and they go riding off on the side of the road, breaking the rules. And when they get in trouble, and yes, they always get in trouble, your IT folks have to leave the cars that they're in, go get them to safety. And even once in a while, there's like a shootout that happens between IT and your why did you do this and who's got done? And regardless of who's at fault, your IT guys are always the ones that get thrown in the pokey. Now, you work hard and you've forged great alliances with your business partners. But no matter how hard you work, you are always in the doghouse. You are blamed because you can't drive your business partners everywhere they want to go. You are held accountable for these long, aimless trips. And you feel guilty about not getting to Ethiopia fast enough, even though your business partners decide where they want to go and how they want to get there. Sometimes it feels like Ethiopia is farther away than ever. We are getting closer to Ethiopia. We are collaborating with the other parts of the business like we never have before, on how we do planning, how we do prioritization, how we work on projects. We have improved the success of projects. We're getting smarter about how to ensure that projects get successfully delivered. We have reliable and available infrastructure services, and we're doing a better job than ever before about understanding our costs and what drives our costs and managing our costs. We have a tight alignment between IT and the other parts of the business. We've changed our organizational structure so that they're externally focused. And we are not there yet, but we are getting focused on figuring out how we can innovate to drive that top line and deliver value to our external customers. Problem is, we're getting there, but we're not getting there fast enough. And there's more opportunity and more change and more technology and more business challenges in front of us. And when you look for an operating model, you're trying to figure out, how's it going to get us there? We have agreement about priorities, but in the words of one Fortune 500 CIO, they want the technology and the return, but they don't want a partner in actually achieving the return. Delivery is improving, but a survey of senior business executives indicate that over 50% of them believe that IT inhibits rather than enables change. And the CIOs that I work with agree. Alignment is improving, but IT can only do so much. Keep on waiting. How many years have we been hearing about the fact that we're going to have a technology-savvy business partner group? The demographics are going to help address some of the issues between IT and serving the business, because those people will be hands-on with technology. I mean, I know it's been at least 10 years that I've been hearing this. And Gartner continues to talk about these digital natives, but where are they? We've worked really hard in getting our people IT smart, but we can only do so much. And, we're talking about innovation, but most companies still manage IT as an expense to be minimized versus an investment to be optimized. Now, we know what needs to be done, and we talk about it all the time. We know we should spend more time shaping and informing demand. We know we should focus on realizing value and driving innovation. We know we need to integrate our infrastructures. We know we should promote and develop from within. We know we should outsource the commodity work, and that we should spend a lot more time, both ourselves and our people, outside the four walls of our organization, with our external customers, and with the front line of our business. The problem is that we say one thing, but we do another. We spend most of our time to get the work out the door. We focus almost solely on cost. I mean, you look at any business case, you look at any budget presentation, anything, and you're going to be dealing with a whole lot of information about the cost and the cost estimates, and very, very little about the numerator of ROI or the value. We know we should be innovating, but we're trapped by lights on. We know we should create coherent architectures, but we continue to bolt it on. We know we should do fast projects, but we do slow, long ones. We know we should promote from within, but we go outside for answers and talent. And we know we should outsource the work, worst work, but it's easier to outsource the variable work, which is the project work. And what that does is send innovation outside and creates organizations, our organizations, that become more like maintenance organizations versus innovation organizations. And we know we should spend more time outside. We struggle just with answering our email, dealing with day-to-day operations. Now, we are rational, intelligent people. And so when rational, intelligent people don't do what they say they want to do, there's only three reasons. They don't know how to, they don't want to, or they don't have time to. Well, we clearly know how to, we clearly want to. The issue has to do with the fact that the IT job is too big. The current operating model doesn't work. So we need to take a lead from the CEO. This is the former CEO, Kimberly Clark, who was profiled in the book Good to Great. And you may remember this from the book, but Kimberly Clark was, you know, facing dire straits. CEO comes in, and he had the courage to ask the question, why has Kimberly Clark sucked for 100 years? You know, can you imagine? Like, it's on. Now, this honest self-reflection led to the decision to sell the paper mills, you know, their legacy, what they started off with, and to go into direct competition with P&G in the packaged goods market. And that created a new future for Kimberly Clark. We need to have the courage to ask the question, why has IT sucked for 30 years? I can say 30 years because I started programming in 1977. And I've spent every year since 1977 in this industry, with the exception of 4 years when I served as a chief financial officer and general manager. And that was an important 4 years for me. I realized that every day that I spent as a CFO, and I had, it was a big market company, so I had real estate, construction, legal, franchising, IT, accounting, strategy. Every day I spent as a CFO was easier than any day that I spent as a CIO. Because even though I was responsible for managing the financial asset, I had fiduciary responsibility over the financial asset, I didn't manage every dollar. That was the responsibility of everybody in the company. And nobody came to complain to me when they didn't make their numbers. They knew it was their accountability. The IT job is too big because we feel like we've had no choice but to do it all. We try to be the sole provider of IT solutions for our company. We try to be the least cost provider of utility services. We try to lead all the change and innovation. We try to manage most of the projects. We try to ensure that the business strategies are IT-enabled. We write a lot of the business cases. We write most of the functional requirements. And we do most of the business analysis. And if that's not enough, believe it or not, we are challenging ourselves with knowing more about the business and our business partners. Doesn't that sound strange? Now, we are compelled to try to do it all because we're missing two critical ingredients that I had as a CIO. First of all, we're missing knowledgeable, accountable business partners, knowledgeable about the asset of IT. We're also missing the authority to make sure that people follow the rules. Now, we're going to have to figure out how to get these ingredients because if we continue to try to drive all the cars, we're never going to get to Ethiopia. So let me draw one more analogy for you. Who has teenage kids? 16, okay. yes. You guys, this is near and dear to your heart. I have a 16-year-old nephew. His name's Brady. And Brady doesn't drive yet. So on the one hand, his parents are very comfortable with the fact that he's not driving because they know who he's with and they know that he's safe. But on the other hand, Brady expects them to drop everything to drive him where he wants to go when he wants to get there. And when he does, when they're not available, he gets a little whiny. So it's way past time for Brady to learn how to drive. And like our business partners, it's way past time for them to learn how to drive, too. But they won't learn unless we give them the right tools. Like Brady's parents, we need to give up control in order to gain control. We have to give our business partners more authority, more education, more tools, so that we can extract a lot more accountability out of them and increase the overall IT capacity of our businesses. Instead of trying to do it all, we need to teach our business partners the desire to satisfy their day-to-day needs on their own, so we can elevate our focus and start leading.